turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the
day? Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generation legacy of abundance. Today's episode is number 107, and what we're going to talk about today is goals and plans for 2013. I'm assuming since you listen to this that you want to leave a legacy, and in order for you to be able to build the kind of life that would leave a legacy, you need to have some plans and some goals in place to be able to do that. And so as we approach the new year, it is always a good time to kind of evaluate what you did this last year and look at the goals and plans that you have for 2013, how they can move you in the direction that you want to go so that you can be able to build the kind of legacy that you want to build. So that's what we're going to talk about today, some ways in which we can do that. But before we do that, I want to direct your attention to just a few of the announcements. First of all, I'll make this really quick today, but first of all, make sure that you are a registered user of the website. This, of course, best advantage this to you is that you are notified by email anytime that there's an update to the website. Second of all, make sure that you are telling your friends and family about us and that you're spreading the word through Facebook, YouTube, and through Twitter. And if you have not yet liked my Facebook page, I encourage you to do that and become a follower of that Facebook page so that we can get some more likes on there. I appreciate you doing that. If you have any feedback that you'd like to give me directly, the best way to do that is send me an email at steve@thelegacypodcast.com. Again, that's steve@thelegacypodcast.com. And then we have our affiliates for today. Our first one up is Gurney's. During the wintertime is a great time for you to sit down and take a look at what you have currently in inventory seed-wise and what you plan to do this next spring and summer for your garden and for producing the kind of environmental effect around your home that you want to have through vegetation. And one of the best places I know of being able to do that is through Gurney's. They've got a huge selection of different varieties. And if you want heirlooms, they've got a few of those. You can get some of those at other places as well. But Gurney's has got a great variety of things in it. They're very, very discounted. So if you want to shop at Gurney's, go through the affiliate link on our website. And then second up is 48 Days. 48 Days is the work of Dan Miller's organization. And what it is designed to do is help you get into the kind of job or career vocation that you want to be in. So it helps you either transition out of your current employment into another employment where you are most fitted, or it enables you to make the transition out of employment into self-employment and business ownership, either one of which is designed to be able to increase your ability to earn a living and increase your ability to make a difference in this world and to build your legacy through your vocation. And so check out 48 Days and the resources that they have there and the books that he has available at his website. Excuse me. And then last up is to consider becoming a legacy partner. You only have a few more days to get the discounted rate at the Legacy Partner Program of $10 for the year. And so if you sign up between now and the end of the year, you will have 12 months for only $10 access to the Legacy Partner page. And I know I've said this before, but I am certainly going to be working diligently in 2013 trying to increase the benefits of that page. And so you won't want to miss out on that. And to get it in at $10 is a great deal. Otherwise, it goes back to $30 at the beginning of the year, which is also a good deal. It helps support the show and enables you to access material that others are not able to. So check out the Legacy Partner Program. And that takes care of the introductory segment. So now let's go ahead and take care of the main content of the podcast for today, which is goals and planning for 2013. And I want to begin just by reading a couple of verses from the scriptures. Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 29 is a parable that Jesus spoke regarding a builder. He says, "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation, is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" And so he had failed to set the proper goals, and maybe he had an idea in mind, but he failed to set up the proper plans to achieve those goals. And so what we want to do today is we want to look at some ways in which we can set proper goals and then make sure that we have the plans in place to be able to achieve those goals. So much of what I'm going to say today comes from a book called Success is Not an Accident by Tommy Newberry. And he outlines in there 8 rules of goal setting. And I'm going to outline those in this podcast and bring in a little bit my own understanding of them. But that's a great book. If you haven't picked it up, I'll put a link into the show notes for it, and you can pick that up. Maybe that's one of the books you want to read in 2013 to move you in the direction of success. But it's a great book, Success is Not an Accident by Tommy Newberry. So the number one thing that you need to do, well, they're not necessarily in order, but they are all very important, and there are various 8 rules. So number one is, they must be written down. So if you're going to have goals and you're going to want to achieve those goals, then you're going to want to write them down. Now, why is it important to write it down? Some people say, well, I know what I want. I've got the goal in my head. Well, it's not nearly as effective. When you write it down on a piece of paper or you write it down on the computer and print it out, excuse me, then you actually crystallize the gold more succinctly. You're able to put it into words that is able to be remembered more effectively. I know some people, when you try to ask them what their goals are, they really can't quite articulate it because they haven't got it concrete enough that they could write it down. And so writing it down makes you disciplined enough to crystallize exactly what you want in terms of gold. Second of all, what it does is it helps you visualize and have something physical that you can actually look at that would help you to be reminded of those goals and help you to be able to visually understand what you're trying to do. So let me put this a little bit in perspective. You might say, well, I know what my goals are. They're in my head. But when you actually have the goals, let's say you want to lose weight, and you actually have the goals posted above where your scale is, then, you know, that is a great reminder. It's a great visual reminder of what your goals are and how best to achieve that. Another thing that it does by writing it down is it activates your reticular activating system. Now, what is that? The RAS. Well, if you read any kind of articles or, you know, anything like this on subconscious mind and this whole reticular activating system, what it is that when you write something down, you then begin to look at things differently so that you notice things that might be able to aid you in achieving those goals. You know, the same thing can be said when someone buys a new car. Let's suppose that you buy a red Toyota Camry. And, you know, before you bought that red Toyota Camry, you wouldn't be able to really hardly see if anybody in town had one. But as soon as you buy that red Toyota Camry, it seems like everybody and their brother has a red Toyota Camry. You're going up the road and you see, you know, past 5 or 6 on the way to the grocery store, and you see 3 in the parking lot, and you think, well, everybody's bought these now. No, they just had them before. It's just that now you have activated your reticular activating system and you're more aware of them. Well, the same thing is when you write down a goal, it activates the same system so that then you are looking around. Your perspective has changed on the events around you and the circumstances around you so that you're able to then make use of that in a more effective way. It also, by writing it down, allows you to have a means to chart progress. And this is so fundamental when it comes to goals, being able to chart the progress. And if you don't have anything written down, it's very difficult to be able to chart that. So whether you chart it on a graph or whether you chart it on a, you know, some kind of numbering system or a point system or a percentage system or whatever it is that you decide to do to chart your progress towards that goal, if you don't have it written down, you can't really do that very effectively. And just to kind of illustrate or to indicate how important it is to write things down, I want to think for a moment how much more significant it is if you are into a written contract versus a verbal contract. If you are going to open a business, and let's say you are going to be a McDonald's franchisee, and so, you know, you've gone through the thing. What would you think if McDonald's says, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pay you so much and X, Y, Z, and, you know, you're going to have to, you know, buy these kinds of things and open your store at this location, all these kinds of things. And they make all those agreements, but they do so without putting it in writing, and they just do it verbally. Would that concern you? I know it concerned me, because there is a that there is a more seriousness that takes place. Even though, you know, verbal contracts should be binding, there is a more serious aspect that takes place when somebody actually writes that down. And so by writing down your goals, you're actually making a contract with yourself to achieve those things by writing them down. Here are some statistics related to writing down goals. People who write down their goals are 10 times more likely to achieve them than those who do not. In a similar study, it showed that people who write down their goals earn 100 times more than those who do not. So if you need some motivation then to write down your goals, there you have it. 10 times more able to achieve it, and 100 times more in income potential. So write down your goals. Number two then is they must be stated in the present tense. Now, this seems strange, because when we set goals, you know, we usually say, well, I'm going to, you know, lose 30 pounds by XYZ date, or, you know, something like that. But what it does when we state them in the positive and when we state them in the present, it helps activate the subconscious mind by creating a cognitive dissonance. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, our minds, our subconscious mind is designed to prevent any kind of non-reality. And so if we say in our minds, or we say as we read our goals that, you know, we make X amount of dollars per year, and that's the goal that you have, even though right now you're not making that. Maybe you're making 10% under that, and you want to be able to make 10% more. And so you set that as a goal, and you say, you know, I earn X amount of dollars per year. Well, your mind is telling you, no, I only earn, you know, Y amount of dollars per year. But your subconscious mind is trying to figure out how to reconcile those things. So what it will do, it will work extra hard putting situations and things in place so that you will then be able to bring your Y value up to your X value. And as a result of that, you're able to achieve the goals. There's something about saying will, you know, I will lose so much weight, or I will read that book. It puts it into this nebulous future state, and it's not concrete enough for you to begin to make progress towards that. And so we need to have it stated concretely and very present tense so that our mind can do something with it. Now, the only exception to this, I would say, is that if we put a very specific date to the goal. For example, if we say, I am 160 pounds, or I weigh 160 pounds in December. Either one of those, I think, is adequate, because they're both stated in the present tense, and they also have a very specific time frame in them, or they're stated in the present tense. So number two is they must be stated in the present tense. Second thing about, or third thing about goals is they must be stated positively. Now, I've already referred to this in the first two goals, but they must be stated positively. Now, to illustrate this, you know, our minds cannot think in the negative. If we have a goal such as, I'm not going to weigh 170 pounds, our minds can't understand that. They don't put that into the same frame. They don't think in the negative. They only think in the positive. They can't know what's not. And so just to give you an idea of that, I want you to try to think of something other than a purple elephant. Now, did you think of something other than a purple elephant? You might have, but did you think of a purple elephant also? Sure you did. And the reason why is because our minds can't think of something not. It can't think of not a perfect purple elephant. And so when I say purple elephant, what do you think? You think purple elephant. And so if you say, I'm not going to be fat, what do you think? You think fat. And so instead, you need to put that into a different perspective so it's stated positively. Rather than stating the goal as I am not going to be fat, instead say I am thin. And as a result of that, you'll be able to more effectively achieve your goals. So number four then is they must be consistent with your core values and your mission statement. If you believe that being wealthy is morally wrong, do not have a goal to be wealthy because you will never be able to achieve it. There will be a dissonance between what you believe and what you want. And when you believe something and then you try to achieve something other than that, there is a real problem with that. And so they have to be consistent with your core values and your mission statement. In other words, you have to believe it to be true and have to believe it to be right in order for you to achieve those goals. If you want to believe that, or your goals must mean something to you. In other words, they must have some kind of thing that moves you. You cannot have a goal that someone else wants for you because they are not a part of your core values, or they would be your goals. And so, you know, this happens all the time where parents put certain goals on their children to do something, and, you know, the children eventually rebel or they stop doing that, or, you know, they have a real difficult time because it's not their values, not their core values. Now, it's important for us to, as parents, to try to pass on the same values and same fundamental core issues that we have to our children, especially if they are good ones. But nonetheless, it still has to be theirs. And until it is theirs, you can't force them to have a certain goal. An abstract goal that has no attachment to your values or mission will not be achieved because it is just that, it's unattached. It has to be attached to a core value. And so it should include, the goals that we set should include several things. It should be, we should have goals about our marriage. We should have goals about our spiritual relationship with God. We should have goals about our children or our parenting. We should have goals about our health and our fitness. We should have goals about our vocation. We should have goals about some hobbies that we might have or that kind of thing. And then we should have some goals about skill and personal development. And then we should have goals about liberty development and moving liberty forward. And so if we have goals in all those areas, and those are the areas in which we should focus, then, we should have some core principle values related to those things. And if we don't, then, you know, it's pretty much an exercise in futility. We will not be able to achieve it. So they must be consistent with your core values and mission statement. Number five, they must be specific and measurable. They must be specific and measurable. The more specific, the better able to visualize and the better able to measure you are to those goals. And so here are some poor examples of goals. I want a better marriage. That's not a very good goal. I want to lose weight. That's not a very good goal. I want to spend more time with my kids. That's not a good goal. I want to read the Bible. That's not a good goal. I want to make more money. That's not a good goal. And the reason why, there's nothing inherently wrong with any of those things. Those are all might be good. But what the problem is that they're not specific and they're not measurable. How do you measure a better marriage? You've got to have some kind of gauge, some kind of thing that you can keep track of to see whether or not the marriage is better. How can you measure, I want to lose weight? Well, you got to be able to have a goal weight that you're looking to. You've got to be able to have, how much weight do you want to lose and when, for how long, and all that kind of stuff. And so here are some better examples related to those same things. So rather than saying, I want to have a better marriage, you could do, I want to date my wife every week. Now, this was a personal one I came up with. I talked to my wife about goals, and we're working on some of those, and I want a better marriage. And so for me, being able to have a better marriage means loving my wife better. And one of the things she needs is to be able to have more frequent dates. We don't do that enough. And so that's going to be one of my goals this year, to improve our marriage, is to go out on more dates and to be with her more frequently in that regard. And so here's another example. Rather than saying losing weight, you could say, I want to lose 15 pounds to my ideal weight of 140 pounds. And so it gives you the very specific amount and the ending weight and all that kind of stuff. rather than I want to spend more time with my kids, your goal could be I want to take one child with me to work each week. That way they have time with you and doing things that are adult-like and learning how to be an adult in work situations, that kind of thing. And rather than saying I want to read my Bible, your goal should be I want to read through the Old Testament this year. Well, that gives you a very specific time and value so that you can measure it, you can monitor it, you see how you're doing. And then rather than saying I want to make more money, you could have a goal of increasing your income by 10%. And so, it's a very specific figure that you can look to and analyze and come to conclusions on. So they must be specific and measurable. Number six is they must be time-bound. Now, we've already talked about that a little bit when we talked about specific and measurable, but they must be time-bound. They must have a date of completion so that you can know when you've achieved it. And, of course, when you have achieved it, of course, that then gives you the opportunity to rejoice and thank the Lord for the progress and the accomplishment you've been able to do. But if you have no ending point, if you don't know what it is to achieve and the time frame in which you're supposed to achieve it, you can't really measure that. You know, it's human nature to procrastinate. If there is a deadline, it takes it makes us a little bit more focused and makes us take action rather than procrastinate. How many times did we wait until the very last minute to do our term papers in college? And, you know, I know for one that I was one of those staying up the very night before and trying to proofread it and go back over it and reprint it out and go back over it again and all very last minute stuff. And I always envied those people in class who had the paper done a week in advance. I was never that way. And the reason why is because I procrastinated earlier on in the semester and didn't get it done. And so it's human nature to procrastinate. Unless we have a deadline, we just won't get it done. And so those deadlines are there for a purpose. And then comfort is the enemy of success. And achieving goals, unless being more comfortable, is the goal. So we have to understand that we have to move out of our comfort zone if we're going to be able to achieve any measurable success. Any improvements that we want to make to our life and to our situations are going to have to come at a cost. They're going to have to come at a price. They're going to have to come at the discomfort of our situations that we are in now. And so we have to be able to have a deadline and have it time bound. And this puts us out of the comfort zone and puts us into action. So number seven then is they must balance reasonableness with challenge. They must balance reasonableness with challenge. In other words, they have to be challenging enough to motivate you, but reasonable enough to be achieved. If the ultimate goal seems too far out of reach, then you need to set an intermediate goal or goals that can get you going to the right direction towards progress. Now, maybe you want to lose 100 pounds. Can you do that? Well, sure. Is it reasonable? Well, if you have never lost weight before, 100 pounds is a tall order. Maybe it's better to set an intermediate goal of 30 pounds in the first quarter of the year. You'll want to set intermediate goals as part of your plan anyway. And so by doing this, you then are able to break down that bigger goal into smaller goals. And then there can be more reasoned approach to them. And you can see some victories as you progress through them. And it still gives you the ultimate challenge of reaching that ultimate goal, but it breaks it down into smaller sections. And that's really what we need to do, is we need to find the balance between reasonableness and challenge. The bottom line is that we have to find that balance. Challenging enough to motivate us, and yet still possible to be achieved within reason. Setting super high goals that you've never achieved is discouraging. But so is setting so simple goals that you really don't have to progress much to make any progress. And so find that balance is what we need. And then number eight is they must be thoroughly planned. They must be thoroughly planned. It does no good to set a goal and then have no plan to achieve that goal. And so if you're going to spend the time to brainstorm and work through some of the goals that you have to achieve your vision, to achieve the direction that you want to go for you and your family and to be the leader for your family and pass on the legacy and all these kinds of things that we talk about here. If you really want to do that, then you're going to have to plan it. It's not just going to happen overnight. And so it comes along with a good, thorough plan. long-term vision and goals. You have to be able to look at the long-term and then break that down into smaller segments, just as we mentioned earlier, so that they can be achieved with bite-sized pieces. You need to have 3 to 5 year goals. This is kind of your long-term vision. This is where you want to go. And by the way, most successful people think in blocks of 3 to 5 years. And so, you know, we're not looking at, you know, just tomorrow. We're looking at, you know, what's in the head. Now, I know some people resist this as Christians because they say we're supposed to live one day at a time. And indeed, we are supposed to live by faith every moment of every day, taking the breath that God gives us with that breath and doing what he wants us to do with that very breath. And so that is indeed true. And yet he also tells us in the scriptures that we are to plan, just as we talked about with the at the beginning with the tower, and he failed to plan because he didn't make the proper preparations for it. And so we are to take the necessary steps and to plan ahead. And by doing that, we need to have 3 to 5 year goals, but then we also need to have 90-day milestones. These are like, you know, mile markers in the marathon. And, you know, each one that we tick off, we realize that we are getting closer and closer to the finish line. And then we need to have weekly activity that would lead to the 90-day milestones. So we need to break it down even further and say, what do I need to do in order to achieve this goal or this milestone that would then allow me to achieve that goal in the long run? And then you create daily to-do lists, daily to-do chores, daily activities that would be able to achieve that. And so you see how I'm just breaking it down into smaller and smaller segments. Now, let me give you an example of that here with the situation I mentioned earlier about dating my wife. We've come to the conclusion that a weekly date is really what needs to happen. And so we have to then figure out 10 to 15. So I asked her, what I did is I asked her to write down for me 10 to 15 dates that she would like, that would, you know, give her the kind of love and everything that she needs. And so she's working on developing those 10 to 15 dates. And then I'm going to take those, of course, and I'm going to add a few of my own to them. And then, you know, rotate around those throughout the various 13 weeks of the quarter. And we should be able to have plenty of date nights. But I had to plan all that out. And then in addition to that, of course, we have to plan, you know, what part of the week. So on the first day of the week, I have to get out my calendar, have to set the schedule, have to plan which day is going to be done and what event is going to be done, and I have to acquire the proper child care, so you know, that will not be a part of the problem. And then I have to plan for contingencies. You know, what happens if there's sick children? What happens if either one of us are sick? What happens if the place, you know, is not there? You know, we don't have the money for it for the month, whatever. Of course, we plan for that in advance, but we need to also plan for contingencies. In the military, you know, we are taught 2 is 1 and 1 is none. So if you don't have 2 plans, then, you know, when the first plan blows up, then, you know, you're up a creek, so to speak. And so unless you have a plan B, you will not have, you'll not achieve the goal, because challenges will come and contingencies must be in place. So then we also need a plan for obstacles, sicknesses, emergencies, weather, attitudes. All those, as well as many other ones, can be obstacles to achieving the goal. And then plan for resources that were required. What money will be needed, what time will be on, what books, audios, childcare, whatever it might be to be able to achieve those goals. You need to be able to identify what those are and then means by which you are able to acquire those resources so that you can meet those goals. And then plan for sacrifice. As I mentioned earlier, anything that we do is going to require some amount of sacrifice if it's worth doing. And we only have a limited amount of time and limited amount of resources. And so, taking any of those resources, any of that time away from something else will mean that that one thing you took it away from is going to have to suffer. And so we have to make those choices in advance in preparation and planning so that we might be able to be thoroughly planned. And so are you planning on giving up, and what and how are you planning on doing that in order to achieve the goals that you have in place? So those are the 8 steps of setting good, sound goals. And so let's review them. They must be written. They must be stated in the present. They must be stated positively. They must be consistent with your core values and mission. They must be specific and measurable. They must be time-bound. They must balance reasonableness with challenge. And they must be thoroughly planned. And I promise you that if you set these goals under these parameters, under these 8 steps for 2013, that you will move your needle forward. You will move the direction that you want to go in building your legacy and leaving behind something that your children and your grandchildren will be able to take advantage of because of your planning and your preparation and goal setting in 2013. So let me encourage you to do that. Let me encourage you to sit down, take out a pen, take out a paper, write down some goals, brainstorm some ideas, talk to your wife, talk to your children, find out in the various areas that I mentioned earlier what you want for your goals in 2013, establish them, develop a plan, and then start working the plan. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Change your legacy. What will you do to change?